This is 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour, presented by Churches of Christ and individual Christians promoting New Testament Christianity. Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If you were establishing a worldwide movement and choosing the men who would lead that movement, what kind of men would you choose? Should there not be at least one doctor, one lawyer, a chief executive officer of a major corporation, a university professor, a media mogul, a prominent politician, and other outstanding national and international leaders? How could you hope to influence the thinking and behavior of the world without such powerful people? This is unquestionably the way most of us think. That was the Lord's reason for saying, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 55:8-9. When Jesus chose the men who would lead the new covenant, he did not choose any of the leaders of his day. He chose a group of nondescript men, men who most of the world did not know and would not have chosen. But Jesus saw great potential in the men he chose to be apostles. Matthew provides the following list. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother; James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the publican; James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Matthew 10:2-4. Some of these men are known by name only. That does not indicate that they were ineffective or unfaithful in discharging their responsibilities as apostles. The Bible is necessarily selective in telling the story of redemption. If the work of all the men and women the Bible mentions were told in great detail, the Bible would be too unwieldy for us to handle. So I shall mention very briefly some of the men who served Christ as apostles. The Apostle Peter always appears first in every list of the apostles, as he does in the passage I read to you from Matthew 10. Does this mean that Peter enjoyed some kind of primacy among the apostles? He certainly was a leader, but he had no more authority than any of the other apostles. Sometimes he spoke when he should have been listening. He did have great ability and was used of the Lord to accomplish great things. For example, he delivered the very first gospel sermon ever recorded, Acts 2. He wrote 2 books that bear his name, but he made the grievous mistake of denying his Lord. Peter's brother Andrew does not appear prominently in the divine record, but he did have the distinction of bringing Peter to Jesus. The Apostle John says, "One of the two who heard John, that is John the Baptist, speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his brother Simon and says unto him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas.'" John 1:40-42. We do not know what happened to Andrew, but we know the great contributions of the Apostle Peter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also were very influential in the beginning of the Christian era. James suffered martyrdom at the hands of Herod, but John became a great preacher and leader. The Gospel of John is one of the most loved books in the world. John also wrote 3 short epistles and the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, in my judgment, is the most difficult book in the Bible, but it contains many challenging thoughts. It is also the most abused book in the canon. How disappointing it must have been to the Lord for Judas Iscariot to betray him. Some of the other apostles deserve further discussion, but time will not permit it. Thank you, and may God bless you.